This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Storytelling was once considered a dying art, but it's enjoying something of a revival in recent years. Events like The Moth and The Monty are proof of that. So what is the future of storytelling? A panel at North Carolina Literary Festival will consider that question on Saturday afternoon at North Carolina State. Jeff Polish will be there. He's the founder and director of The Monty, a once-a-month Around the Triangle and Around the Triad event. The Monty hosts live storytelling events there, and Jeff is with us today. Welcome back, Jeff. Good to have you here, as always.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
Davey Redden is with us, another panelist at the NC Literary Festival and the creator of the narrative video game, The Stanley Parable. He is with us as well. Hello, Davey.
Hello. How are you doing?
Doing well. Krista Bremer is also with us today. She's an essayist and author of the memoir My Accidental Jihad. She and her husband are working on using storytelling to promote reconciliation in Libya. Krista, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
I want to talk to Jeff just about this whole business of building community around storytelling, which is, I think, one of the goals for the Monty. How is that going? How does that work?
Oh, it's incredible. You know, and I think that I think in today's day and age, we need a forum like the Monty more than ever. Because, and actually Krista and I were talking about this before the show, that we're so clued in or tied into the digital world, which is there to connect us, quote unquote, connect us through technology. But we're missing out on something very intimate, and that is the real human experience, authentic, complete with frailty, vulnerability, fallibility. We need to hear about those things. Those are things that you don't often see on Facebook. You scroll through your newsfeed on Facebook, and it's like, look at me. Look at how grand my life is. Look at these pictures of my kids. It's wonderful. That sort of thing wouldn't work at the Monty. What would work at the Monty is, I made this mistake. I had this major character flaw. This thing happened, which changed everything, and now I might be at least slightly more self-aware because of it.
Here's the irony in all that. You do that at the Monty in front of people, the time when you would think vulnerability is the most painful for individuals, when they're looking at somebody versus being in your cell, being able to construct an identity. That's when you think you might be able to let down, but it's the reverse, isn't it?
It's absolutely the reverse. I mean, the Monty is a terrifying experience for a lot of people that do it. But it also is a place that we created that gives people a lot of comfort. I mean, it's amazing the types of material that people will delve into when they get on stage. This is the type of material that they wouldn't talk about on the street.
Right.
But in this place, anything is possible.
Or not on Facebook. I mean, that's the
right
idea. So, Krista, let's talk about this project in Libya. What you've been inspired by programs like the Monty, I think, to start this in Libya. Is that right?
Very much so. And, you know, my husband is Libyan, and he's been looking for a way to help his native country for a long, long time. And we began to think about the ways storytelling could contribute to national reconciliation, because Libyans come from an oral tradition, and yet they have been denied the right to tell even the most basic truths about their lives for a really long time. And they've also suffered under Gaddafi, who really undermined trust and fed tribal anger among Libyans as a way to consolidate his power. And so we've begun to dream about how we could bring Libyans together in a shared public space and invite different Libyans to share stories about their experience under oppression and through the uprising that would remind them what they have in common and what they have endured as a community, and to begin to just rebuild that trust and rapport from the ground up.
Makes you wonder what the challenges in a project like that are, if you can imagine going for decades having to code your stories or simply not tell them at all. What happens when somebody says, okay, go ahead,
well,
you're free?
I think the challenges are significant. And when I visited there in 2005, I recall my brother-in-law telling me, Krista, these people have lived under a psychotic leader for so long that all Libyans have developed a form of mental illness. And I think there was real insight in that. You know, the mental illness that comes from telling so many lies just to survive another day. So there's a lot of healing that needs to be done.
And how? Why is it that storytelling will do that? What is it about storytelling that you think brings healing?
Well, I think, as Jeff said, you know, the most powerful stories remind us of what we have in common as a human community. And I think that when stories are told in a spirit of vulnerability and generosity, they can have tremendous power. I've seen that in my own writing. The healing begins for the narrator. When I'm able to tell a story about a difficult experience, it changes my relationship to that experience. And then the next level of healing comes when that story connects with somebody else's heart. Then that becomes a shared experience and a community experience of healing.
Davey Redden, you have our storyteller as well, but in a very different form, narrative video games. And they've also certainly been gaining popularity. What is a narrative game, and how do you think it's different from a traditional game or traditional storytelling?
Well, the whole notion of traditional storytelling in video games is very contentious at the moment, because there is no traditional storytelling. I mean, like, the idea of narrative, the idea of a narrative-based game is itself, like, only a product of the last several years, right? Like, even before just a few years ago, we didn't even know what to call that. And even today, we still don't, which I think is what's so exciting about the landscape, is that it's being constantly redefined. I mean, I could, in the last 12 months, I could point out a dozen titles that for me changed. And I mean, I think about this all the time. And in the last 12 months, a dozen titles have changed my perspective and opinion about what narrative in video games even could be. And you know, games as an industry have certainly, like, exploded in the last, decade or so. But the idea of these smaller, more intimate, very narrative and emotional experiences told through digital medium, and not even strictly necessarily as video games, but just as little pieces of digital interaction, they're gaining traction. They're starting to become more recognized. And I mean, that's my hope, right? Like, what we're trying to do is bring these experiences more into the forefront, to where when people think of video games, they think of video games as including these experiences, like the ones, you know, that Jeff and Krista have talked about, where that do include this very vulnerable human element to them. It's not mainstream yet. There's still a long way to go, but, like, that's the work that we're trying to do.
Well, let's hear a sample from your video game, The Stanley Parable.
This is the story of a man named Stanley. Stanley worked for a company in a big building where he was employee number 427. Employee number 427's job was simple. He sat at his desk in room 427 and he pushed buttons on a keyboard. Orders came to him through a monitor on his desk, telling him what buttons to push, how long to push them, and in what order. This is what employee 427 did every day of every month of every year. And although others might have considered it soul-rending, Stanley relished every moment that the orders came in, as though he had been made exactly for this job. And Stanley was happy. And then one day, something very peculiar happened. Something that would forever change Stanley.
Now, we have a little sample of The Stanley Parable, a game created by one of my guests, Davey Redden. So, Davey, very traditional style. This is a story about something that would forever change. So, in terms of the narrative, very standard. But what happens in this game, and maybe you should describe kind of what goes on, is very untraditional in terms of the way time and space and the questions of identity are manipulated.
So what you just heard was, you know, the first minute or so of the game, which is, as you said, it's a very traditional story in that sense. The narrative as it's laid out, I mean, there's nothing particularly unique or different about it. What changes is what this character, Stanley, who you play as you explore this office where suddenly all of your coworkers have just mysteriously vanished, the world begins to shift and unfold and change before you. And the game is really about the transition from safety, from comfort and security and knowledge of what your life is and what the structure of your life is meant to provide for you in terms of, like, you know, the meaning of your life, into uncertainty, into doubt, into confusion. You'll play through a few minutes of it, and the narrator will tell you a bit of story and then give you the option to break that story. You can disobey the narrator, and if you disobey the narrator, he might give you another option to disobey or obey, and you might disobey again, and then he might restart the game and just suddenly take you back to the beginning and let you choose again. And if you choose a different thing this time, are you talking to a different narrator? Are you a different Stanley? Are you in a different environment? And the world changes again and again and again, and the question kind of continuously is, what is my relation to the world, to the environment around me? If I don't know what the universe is, how do I compose and identify myself even in spite of that uncertainty?
And this narrator is not disinterested. He's often goading Stanley, I know you'll always do what I say, or chiding Stanley for not doing what he says. So his relationship between the voice in his head, right, and him, this identity that is Stanley, is also kind of in question here. So Jeff Polish, let me ask you about this. In many ways, not a kind of traditional Monty story about the day I, you know, found out about my mother or something I didn't want to know. This is a very different kind of story, and yet narrative-based, would you say, or fundamentally different? How does it relate, do you think?
Well, it's absolutely narrative-based. It's very interesting. At the core of this game and this story is, you know, this message of, you know, and Davey alluded to it. He said it's about your relationship to the world. And every story has this underlying message, which is either overtly spoken or it's just implied. But there's always something there, a universal truth, something that can be related to by other people.
Well, and difficult truths, philosophical truths, and I think that's some of what he's getting at here, Krista, and I'm wondering sort of how this kind of, this form plays with what your challenge and your project in Libya, in that when we have very difficult either concepts or stories to tell, we have to ask some fundamental questions about who's asking this question, who's telling the story, and, you know, where does the prompt come from?
I think that the most important ingredient in an effective story is self-awareness. And so I think that is going to be the biggest challenge for my husband on the ground in Libya when he begins to work with storytellers, is really working with them to develop some perspective about their experience. And, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about Facebook and social media, and that's exactly what's missing from most of what you receive through social media is perspective. You can get in the moment updates, but you don't get that golden nugget of wisdom and insight that sometimes comes after many years.
And Jeff, I know you've talked about this too. Sometimes we're disparaging of other forms of storytelling, or even, you know, sort of TV forms, you know, reality shows, and whether or not there's storytelling. But you kind of wag a finger at those who would disparage this.
Well, I mean, I have been known to watch a reality show or two. But, you know, the interesting thing is that the people that are being featured on reality shows, I don't think they're always worthy of the attention. But behind those people are producers that know exactly how to tell stories. Let's take, for example, The Bachelor. All right. I know you know The Bachelor, Frank.
Yeah, it's a TV show, right?
Yes, right, where you have one man who is choosing amongst 25 beautiful women, you know, and he'll eventually, like, choose one and hopefully maybe marry them. I don't know. And that never really happens. And, you know, each episode starts with the stakes. What's at stake here? What's at stake is that we're all trying to compete for this one man's heart. And then the episode goes, they all go out on dates. There's some cattiness and some competitive, game playing.
Yeah, some manliness maybe.
Yeah, and these women are really getting vicious with one another. Yeah. And it all culminates in the climactic moment where the man stands up against the women and he chooses which ones he wants to move to the next stage. And that is such a riveting moment. Like, I don't care about any of these people, but by the time that moment in the program comes, I'm foaming at the mouth.
Right.
Like, I'm dying to know who he's going to choose and who he's going to reject, because somebody's going to cry, somebody's going to be heartbroken, and some people are going to be elated.
Well, Dave, you talk about that because one of the interesting things about your game is that we don't know. We're in this environment where we never know anything, and yet, as Jeff suggests, we want to know. So the whole point of the fairy tale is we know that they're all going to live happily ever after, and that what you have is also a mediated experience, but in a sense, we don't know anything that isn't mediated. Even our senses translate things into zeros and ones and then back out again. Talk about how digital media and this kind of storytelling, the connection between what we think we should know and the exploration of the unknown that's essential to storytelling.
Yeah, well, I think it for me, it all ties back to what Krista said before, but is that it's all about self-awareness. I've if I can develop, I mean, okay, just to like step back in like some big broad philosophical way, if I can come to terms with the fact that I don't really know anything about the universe, but that I am getting constantly better at understanding those fears and doubts, like on their own, the nature of them, like as a fear, as a doubt, like not that it's indicative that I'm a failure because I don't know something, but like, oh no, let's just look at that feeling. Let's hold it in our hands. Let's examine it and kind of turn it over and see it from every angle, and then just like come to know it better. And as it changes, because fears and doubts change, I know that I will continue to be able to hold it in my hand still and look at it and say like, oh, how has it changed? Blah blah blah.
Sadly, I'm out of time, so I'll have to say, and I think perhaps what you would all say is that it's storytelling that brings that to mind. It allows us to articulate those sort of things that are rattling about and become more mindful. If I can get a lot of nods, I'll just have to say goodbye and thank you very much and say I wish I had more time. Davey Redden is the creator of the narrative video game, The Stanley Parable. Thank you, Davey.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Jeff Polish, the founder and director of The Monty. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you very much.
And Krista Bremer, an essayist and author of the memoir, My Accidental Jihad. Krista, what a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to The State of Things. Jeff and Davey, by the way, are going to participate on a panel, The Future of Storytelling, at North Carolina's Literary Festival, Saturday, 12:30, the Hunt Library, North Carolina State. You can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. Our program is produced by Laura Lee, Nicole Campbell, Megan Mataferi, and Anita Rao. Robin Copley is our technical director, Brent Wolf, the news director, and this is North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.